agents, trainers, keepers, pilots, eighth wallers, and our beloved explorers and wayfinders. Welcome to episode number 93 of the Wayspotters podcast. Here at Wayspotters, we are dedicated to help make you a better wayfinder and find ways to bring joys to your mobile AR gaming. Wayspotters is brought to you by the good people at the Pokemon Professor Network, and today is Friday, October the 27th. Halloween is right around the corner, and I hope you all get the candy you want. That is, if you celebrate. If you don't celebrate, just go buy a bag of candy. Joined with me always is Chris. Hey, man, what's going on?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. It's a Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. Got a couple of things planned, and I'm going to get out and do some wayfinding. I'm going to be at a college football game in a new area that I don't normally go to. So I've been scouring the map looking for stuff to submit, and I found some stuff. So looking forward to that. How about you? What have you been up to?
Not much. Went to a new coffee shop today and got myself a different coffee that I normally drink. And this thing is delicious.
Ah, what'd you get?
It's like chocolate maple pecan latte.
Ooh.
It's fantastic.
That sounds good. Right on. All right. So today, are you ready for the movie quote today?
Again?
Yep, right, again. Again. All right. Here we go. No one's going to get this movie, but here we go. What'll it be, Marshall?
Whiskey.
It's none of my business, but I've got some free advice.
Get out of town?
That's right.
How much?
It's on the house. Just like the advice. How many people do you think are going to know what movie that's from?
One.
I don't know what our demographics look like for people who are watching movies back in the 50s or 60s, but that was from The Last Train from Gun Hill, starring Kirk Douglas. In this situation, the marshal is given some free advice. Now, if you've seen the movie, you'll know the marshal. You will know if the marshal takes the advice or not. So today, in topic number two, I'm going to be giving some free advice to Niantic. And we'll see if they take the free advice. But before that, let's go ahead and get to the news.
And now, the latest Niantic news from the Wayspotters podcast, presented by the Pokemon Professor Network.
They're alive. That's my news. Niantic Aaron replied to a bunch. And when I say a bunch, I mean a bunch of things today. Our channel in our Discord that posts the news every time they post something in the forum just kind of went ping, 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 ping.
Well, I had to silence it. I had to silence it. It just kept going off. And I'm like, my goodness.
I was like, oh, we got news. That's good. That's good. And then I read it all and it's just him replying to people. Yeah, so exactly. It wasn't anything newsworthy, but they're alive. So we know that's a...
I kind of got the feeling they got their head in the sand and they're trying to play damage control on a few things. So they're not really announcing anything new. So it doesn't really help our news segment. Yeah. But I have the feeling at some point in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get an explosion of news and it'll be all good. It'll be all good.
100%.
Yeah. But what we do have is the Monster Hunter Minute. You ready for that?
I am.
All right, here we go. It's the hottest new mobile game on the market. And here to talk about it is Professor Glaw with the Monster Hunter Minute.
All right, hunters, we are getting reports of increased sightings of Juratados in swamp habitats. These monsters have been spotted enjoying leisurely swims in the mud more often than usual, which seems to indicate that even more will be appearing soon. Exercise caution should you come across one of them in the mud, as it spits out the mud and it's very disgusting. Make preparations for your hunt. The times will be Friday, November 3rd from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, November 4th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday, November 5th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So make sure you get out there and get it. Also, I will post a link to a very, very awesome Reddit post about poison and all the mechanics in the show notes.
Nailed it. All right. So you ready to jump into the show? We got a couple of good things here we have today. So as we promised, we've been kind of collating stuff from the message bag and voicemails, and we're going to slowly start to sprinkle them in over the next couple of weeks. Thank you guys, as always, for hitting us up on our socials and everywhere that you can find the Waste Butters podcast. We promise we will get to everybody. We just have to make sure it fits in to the show and that it kind of makes sense, so we're just not up here babbling. So without further ado, here we go.
Topic number one.
You see, Chris, we spent the big money and got some AI voices. You like that? Yeah.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah, that was very expensive to get that voice actor to do that for us. So, topic number one. We received a message from Aeroblast64 about ways to revamp the Wayfarer test. And it looked and it sounded really interesting. So we thought we'd talk about it. So I'm going to read the message. It's kind of long, so hang with me. And then, Chris, I want to talk to you about it. So let me read the message, the first part. So the message reads... after your episode where you were talking about the Wayfarer test, I got inspired to create my ideal dream Wayfarer test. Let me know what you think. I designed the test in two parts. Part number one, have a 20 to 30 minute Wayfarer introduction video going over the basics of Wayfarer and covering criteria for Wayspots. I've seen videos that are designed like a slideshow that require you to press next after they're done discussing a specific slide. This will be a good approach, so it makes it harder for people to just walk away from video. Afterwards, having a test going over several general Wayfarer questions and criteria mentioned in the video and the website. It should be 30 minutes and require 20 out of 30 answers to be correct to pass, including questions like, should you nominate or accept nominations on private property? Should you submit on K-12 property? Should you mention any game-specific language in your title or description, like Pokestop or Portal? If your nomination gets accepted, is it guaranteed to appear in every Niantic game? Should fake nominations be accepted? After you pass the portion of the test, part two will occur.
Part two will be test reviews. There will be a database for test reviews for people to do. The test will have 30 reviews, and if you manage to get at least 18 agreements, you will be granted the ability to submit and review Wayspots. If you fail either part of the exam, you would not be able to retake the test for 24 hours. If you pass the first part one and fail the second part, you would only need to take the second part, but it would be suggested to review the material for the first part again. It could be argued that the test needs to be harder from what I'm suggesting, but I think these changes would be positive for the Wayfarer community.
Astroblast lays out a very interesting case for this, Chris. So let's talk about part one. What are your thoughts on part one?
Overall, I like this. I think it's a really good approach. We do a lot of e-learning at my work, and it does the same thing. It's like a 30-minute video, but you have to click next like every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And another thing they could do, and this is what this test, they have questions like in the middle of it to test your knowledge.
Yes.
It's not a pass fail thing and it will let you know, but I think they should sprinkle those in and be like, hey, we just talked about gazebos.
Right.
Is this a good gazebo? And then you'd be like, yes. And it'd be like, good job. You got it correct. And if you were like, no, it'd be like, this is why it is a good gazebo. And then you move on. Right.
Just to make sure that you're paying attention and you're not just clicking buttons.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have a bot clicking through the test for you. Right.
Right. Go ahead.
I think 30 questions is good. I agree with him that it should be harder. Mm-hmm. I think it should be 25 out of 30.
Okay. 25 out of 30. Right. So instead of 66% approval rate you want 80% pass rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I like this, and we've had kind of side conversations with Astroblast also, and Astroblast, thank you for repeatedly emailing until you got my attention. Now, the only thing that I can see about this that I have a little bit of issue with, Chris, and this is why I want to bring it up to you. I don't think Niantic wants to come off feeling, sounding, or looking gatekeepy at all. And my initial impressions of this is some people might think this is kind of gatekeeper-ish. And I think Niantic is going the other way with, if you fail, you can do it every 15 minutes. I think they're wanting to open up the tent larger And I think Astroblast is wanting to kind of close the door to the tent and only let, like, have a bouncer and only let people who are qualified in. So essentially, like, it's the club, right? And Niantic is like, everybody come in. And Astroblast is saying, hey, I need to check your ID. Are you 21? You know, are you legit to come in here? Okay, you're 21. You can come in. Oh, I'm sorry. You're only 17. You can't come in. And I think that is what this test is doing. And I think Niantic is wanting to say, no, we're not serving liquor. Everybody come in regardless. But I think that also lets in bots. It lets in people with malintentions. And it lets in people who are just kind of clicking through the button. So that was my only part about number one, is that it could be seen as a little gatekeeper-ish. So help me out here. Tell me if I'm off on that, if I think that it's gatekeeper-ish.
I think that it is, and I think that it needs to be. And I'm not sorry for that, having that opinion.
Okay.
Because it, and I got, every time I kind of bring this up and say that we need to make it more difficult to get involved in the system, people are like, no, but it's, we're letting, it's too easy. In my opinion, it's too easy. Mm-hmm. It's too easy to get in. And we're seeing bots and voting rings and all sorts of abuse that people might think twice if they actually had to spend an hour going through all this and sitting in front of their computer, and they couldn't just bot their way or search on Reddit for the answers, bot their way through the answers. And then there you go.
Oh yeah. I think a big part of this is they would need to have like 120 to 150 questions, and they would just randomly cycle. So it wouldn't be the same test if something like this were going to happen. So you couldn't, like you said, go to Reddit and get the answer and then just go from there. It would have to be something like that.
Yeah. And I think they would have to, and I don't know how difficult this would be. It sure would be pretty easy, but like every month you take 20 questions out, you put 20 new ones in.
Right.
Right. So you're rotating it every month, so that even if somebody does post some of the answers on Reddit, how long are they going to be valid for? 30 right. days, 15 yep. days?
Well, that's what I said. It could be totally random. It could be a unique experience. So I remember at previous jobs, you know, you would have to take a compliance test once a year, and it's the same thing. It's like money laundering, you know, all the little things you have to do. And it's like, but every time you take it, there's questions that are similar. It's not the exact same question. So you have to kind of think about it. And I really like what Astroblast said here about, you know, you're watching the video or whatever, and then it's like, click next, and you have to click next. And then it's like, let's check your knowledge. We just talked about blah, blah, blah. And it gives you three options, and it's super easy as long as you were paying attention, and then you can do it.
Yep.
Now Astroblast said, you know, 20 out of 30. You said 25 out of 30. Why do you think it needs to be 25 out of 30?
I just think that if you're getting like a 66%, it leaves too much open to you being wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, at least for a test, because like if you've got a 66%, 70% agreement percentage, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
But to me, in order to get into the system, you need at least 80%. 80% is a pass on most corporate knowledge tests, right? Like every time I take a test at work, I got to get 80%.
Right. Now, what do you say to the people who are watching this or who are, you know, who have talked to Astroblast and go, hey, I'm doing free work for Niantic. Why are you making me? Why do you want me to get 80%? Why do you want me to watch a 30-minute video? I'm doing this for free. Niantic should be doing this on their own. This is free labor. What do you say to those people?
Yes, it is free. 100%. It's free labor. Absolutely. But like if I hire volunteers to do a job, I want them to do it properly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not going to just say, oh, well, I asked them to rake my yard or do this for charity. Right. And then they ended up burning the building down and all my leaves are on fire. Oh, well, it was free. So,
right. Yeah.
That's not how it works. Right. It's,
because at the end of the day, at the end of the day, we want to make sure the game board is clean.
100%.
And just because you're doing something free doesn't mean you're going to do a crappy job. So it's like if I go to my kid's school and I go to volunteer, I've got to do the volunteer video thing every time I go to the school. where they're like, this is what is allowed in the school. This is what's not allowed in the school. I'm like, dude, I was here last Tuesday. They're like, doesn't matter. Gotta watch the video. Mm-hmm. You gotta watch the video and you gotta sign on the line that you will do X, Y, or Z. You won't bring a firearm. You won't do blah, blah, blah. And it's like, every time you go do something with the kids, you gotta do the same thing. Now, I'm not saying every time you log in, you gotta take the test, but I personally, you've kind of convinced me that it is gatekeeper-ish, but it should be.
Should be.
Because anyone reviewing, now, I say that anybody reviewing should know the rules and stay up to date. I would love some kind of continuing education course, maybe once a quarter, once every six months. But this would require Niantic to do some work to come out with a continuing education course with everything that's changed, right? So let's say the AMAs come out. Let's say we get a new AMA in January. Maybe in February, there's a pop-up quiz that you've got to answer 10 questions about what has changed since the last time. You know, so that way, because, I mean, we've all seen the you know, people will say, well, like pools, for example. We've been talking about this in our Discord. Pools, they've kind of taken all the things off of the website now about pools. And apparently pools are legal now, right? Or they're eligible. But if you haven't done Wayfair in a while, you're like, no, pools are not eligible, blah, blah, blah. And you don't know what's changed. If you're not on Reddit or if you're not on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it, you don't know. But if there was some like overlay that said, hey, some things have changed. Click here. Oh, you got that wrong. Then there's a little paragraph from Tintino or someone that says, since the last time you got this wrong, here's the right answer. Learn it. You know, it's going to require some work on their part. But I think all of those things will go through and make sure that we've got the right people doing the right things. My question was, I wanted to get that out. This test that Astro Blast is talking about reviewing. Do you think let's get to part two, because I think a bigger thing that we have going on in the community right now is people that are submitting, right? So you want to talk about part two?
I think part of this test needs to be like a submission test. Like he doesn't talk about this. This is mostly about kind of reviews and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But I think maybe there should be like a part three that says, here's a picture, here's a supporting picture, here's like a map location. Should you submit this as a waste spot?
Right.
And then you'd kind of go and you would have to look at the map and you'd be like, yes, I think this is a good, and I think this is in a good location, right? But
or it gives you like A, B, and C and you have to pick where it should be.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he says that the test, the review test, right, should be 30 reviews and they have to get at least 18. To me, that's like 25. Right. 25 out of 30,
mm-hmm.
Which is, I know people are going to say, well, that's a lot higher than what you're. I understand that 70% is like a good thing, but I go back to you need 80% to pass these tests.
Right.
And they should be curating these things that are.
Yes.
Like this test shouldn't be hard. Like it should be very obvious to say.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. 80% should not be out of the range for this, because these are ones Niantic has collated. It's not like you got to go against the general public and the general public may go one way or the other. These are 30 submissions that Niantic has said, these are either up or down. Yep. And you've got to agree with what Niantic said. And if you should be able to get 25 out of 30 on ones that they have locked it in, this is Cole, locked it in, this is a submission. So that way you know what they want. And if we get people from the jump knowing what they want, then hopefully people will follow along in their community. Mm-hmm. Now,
And I think this is a good thing, because you could have at the end of the test, they say, hey, you got 26 out of 30. Here's every single thing that you reviewed. Mm-hmm. Here's what you said. And here's the correct answer. And here's why it's not what you said it was. Like if you hit approve and it's actually reject, here's why you should reject this. So you could go through the list and say, okay, I understand why we disagreed on this one. Like I even know I passed.
Right.
You should be forced to review the ones you got wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, there's one thing that this test doesn't take into account. It's the human nature part of it, right? It's the it's the blame Jamal. It's the what's a few meters between friends. I know it, you know. I know most people would put the pin on the statue right here, but I'm going to put the pin on the statue over here. It's still on the statue. I'm not abusing Wayfair, but I'm putting the pin in another cell, and it's still on the statue, but it's not where most people would put it. So there's still that. So I don't think you're ever going to get over that. And then the people who are the need more stops people and who are like, I'm just going to pray and spray and just put it out there. You can take the test, right? There's people that take their driving test and get 100 and then leave the DMV and drive 100 miles per hour in a school zone. And they know it's wrong, you know, but they're going to do it anyway because they're late for work. And they're like, I know I'm breaking the law, but I'm late for work and I'd rather get to work on time. And I'll take the risk of getting pulled over. So I think the best you can do is make sure people know what they're doing as far as Wayfair goes. And there's always going to be people who are going to cheat and who are going to abuse and who are going to do things. But overall, I don't really disagree with anything Astro Blast had to say. I mean, again, it's going to come off gatekeeperish, but like you said, Chris, and I think you've won me over, it should be. It should be difficult. I think the way it is now, I haven't taken the test in a long time, like a really long time, because I can't. I would have to create another Wayfair account, which would be against the TOS. So I can't. And I don't even know what the test is right now, to be completely honest with you. I don't know if it's the same test I took. And to be honest, I took the test when it was OPR. So I've never taken the Wayfair test because I don't think I had to. So we would love to hear what you guys think about this. If you think that Astro Blast is onto something, you can always reach out to us on our Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it at Wayspotters. Or you can send us an email at wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Let us know what you think. Or if you're in our Patreon exclusive Discord, you can hit us up there and let us know what you think. But we would love to get some interaction about this and give Astro Blast a little bit of feedback on their thoughts. But overall, I love that people in the community are trying to think about ways in which to make reviewers better. And I think anytime, Chris, you raise the bar at the entry level, you're going to have better people that come in than you have the bar on the floor and everyone comes in.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's going to happen with this is you're going to have people who are better educated and say, you won't have people saying, well, I didn't know.
Right.
Well, you did, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. And last thing on this, like I've been a lot more active on the Facebook group, the Wayfair nominations, the global Facebook group. And there's so many people in there that ask questions that they should know. And I'm not faulting them for not knowing the answer. I'm kind of faulting Niantic for not making them know the answer before they start reviewing. Like there's just some things that you should know. They're common sense. Like, well, this is technically at the football stadium of the K-12, but it's near the end of the football stadium. No, it's K-12. Mm. Like you just like it's just it there it, yep. And that might be an elementary question or answer, but there's things that people do that you just should know, right? Now there's some other things people ask on there that Niantic needs to do a better job. Like we could do a whole show on this. Like we could literally do a whole show on what I'm about to say. What is PRP?
Yeah.
Right. What is PRP? People ask questions about that all the time. Niantic has never clarified what truly is PRP. Mm-hmm. And I think they do it because they don't want to be locked into a box, because PRP means different things depending on where you are in the world. But that's a huge source of confusion on the Facebook group. People are like, this is not in my front yard. This is here. And it keeps getting marked PRP. And I just want to say, don't upgrade it. Don't upgrade it. Just let it go through naturally. It might take 6 months, but if you upgrade it, it's going to go to everybody. They're going to go PRP. So I made that mistake today. I upgraded something I shouldn't have, and now I got to go back and fix it.
Ouch. And there's parts of PRP that you and me don't agree on. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, 100%. There's some things that I just don't think are PRP that you do. And it might be the difference that I'm in the States, you're in Canada, and it's just, you know, there's – and we both pay real close attention to this. Hell, we spend at least an hour and a half a week talking about it with each other on the podcast and many other hours talking about it on Discord or in our private chat. So – and there's people that have a third idea about PRP, different than mine and different than yours. So It ultimately comes down to Niantic, and I'm going to get into that when I give them a little bit of free advice here in a little bit. But I wanted to get to part two of this. So we received a message from Mocking John. Mocking John also sent us an email, and I want to read it. It says, "Hey, Chris and Jamal, real quick, you asked on episode 90 for those of us who only went for tier one of the personal rewards for the challenge, what would make us go for tier two next time? For me, it was probably a psychological response to the target numbers they chose. Tier one was 100 reviews, and tier two was 250 reviews. If it had been 200 for tier two, I would have been like, okay, I just did 100 and it wasn't that bad. So if I do that again, I get more rewards. But because it was more than double, I was like, I'm not sure I can do more than I just did again. Like I said, it's probably a psychological trick, but when someone tells me I'm halfway to something, I'm much more likely to go the rest of the way there. By the way, the introduction of the official counter is my responsibility for me to actually go for tier one in the first place. I had the plug-in counter for the last challenge, but honestly, I didn't trust it and only got to participation awards. The official counter was a very key addition, at least for me anyway, and I appreciate you guys so much. You really helped me become a better reviewer and submitter. Keep up the great work. P.S. I love the Australian / New Zealand challenge. Let's give them some love. Mocking John." Great email. Love it. Thank you, Mocking John. Fantastic. Sorry it took us so long. You literally sent that in almost a month ago because we're on episode 93. Appreciate you hanging in there with us. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
I think it's bang on. When I saw them announce the tiers, I saw that it went from 100 to 250, then to 500. And I'm like, that's a weird... I kind of understand what they were going for there, but it was a weird kind of jump from one to two. Mm-hmm. Two to three made sense, but
yeah.
I just thought it was a weird jump.
Yeah, I did too.
I completely agree with everything else. I think that's a fantastic email, and that counter was huge. Like, it was great. I love seeing
the counter was huge.
The plugin was great when it worked, right? But it was, they jumped ahead so much that they kept having to go in and fix it. So
exactly,
there were points where it wasn't accurate, and then it caught up after. But like for me, I did some on my home laptop, I did some on my work laptop, and they kind of didn't sync. And then it was
exactly
having a challenge kind of a counter ready in there was good. They just need to fix the
counter. So you don't because I would log in on my phone and it would be two more than it would be on my laptop. And I'm like, right. So then I'm like, all right. So then I remember I was at like 501 and you were like, you better do a couple more. So I went to 512. I'm like, just in case, I don't want to be one of those 499 people out there. So no, but Mocking John, thank you for reaching out. And I don't want to say I was shamed into it, but it was one of those things that like, I didn't want to be the guy hosting the podcast and not get to level three. Because you know, I always make fun of those Pokemon Go YouTubers who are at like level 47. I'm like, come on, dude, you're doing content. How can you not like go and do it, right? But you're not a Pokemon Go content creator, though, right?
That's
so
true.
That's a little bit different. So, or they'll be like, oh, I'm not gonna do X, Y, or Z. I'm like, people want to see it, so I kind of felt a responsibility to all the Wastebotters out there in the community that if Niantic is putting out kind of a tier three goal, that I was obligated to go and get it, or else I wouldn't have credibility to sit up here and tell people to go and do it if I'm not going to do it myself. So I don't want to say I was shamed into it, but that's where I am. So, all right. So I'm going to get a little spicy, Chris. I'm going to need a little bit of room here. So I have some free advice for Niantic. And I want to give it to him. So I want to call this section Let's Chat.
Topic number two.
I'm going to read a letter to Niantic that I wrote. So I really put some thought into this. So if you're watching on YouTube, I'm looking at my letter and I'm going to break the kind of eye contact with the camera. I'm going to read my letter here. So if you're on audio, you don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Dear Niantic, I almost feel like I should have some like Jimmy Fallon music, like the scribble in the background.
Oh, you know? Yeah. I'm going to see if I can find that.
Yeah. So if you're hearing a scribble in the background, we put that in post. So anyway, I might even just cut it out. You won't even hear it. All right, here we go. Dear Niantic, I love you. I really do. However, we're at a crossroads. Kind of like Britney Spears in that classic 2002 movie. You know the one I'm talking about. Don't pretend you haven't seen it. I know you saw Crossroads. So, Niantic, please step into my office and have a seat. We need to talk. I have three things I need to get off my chest. Now keep in mind, Niantic, you haven't asked me for my thoughts or my opinions, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. Number one, you really scared people with the introduction of that ladder. I know you didn't mean to, but you did. People are making falsehoods into truths. And you know what? It's kind of your fault. With at least 51% your fault, I'll explain that in a hot second. People saw big, gaudy numbers. 90 days, 30 days, 10 years. And then they saw it not only affect their Wayfarer account, but their other Niantic accounts as well. Okay, that's fine. No big whoop, right? So, shortly thereafter, people started getting emails with warnings and suspensions. And not much else as far as explanation. That leads me to point number two. Point number two, Niantic. Your communication sucks. Wait, no. It really sucks. Let me break this down for you. I work in tech, and I deal with people that write emails like the ones you send out to the player base. These are not emails that are meant to be read by people who don't think tech. Regular, normal people are used to a much different communication structure, where the main topic or the meat of the email is clearly defined and pointed out in many cases. I've seen the emails you've sent to the players, and I think I know what you're trying to say, but even I get a little bit confused. Now, like I said earlier, Chris and I follow this stuff very closely. And again, we think we understand why you communicate the way you do. However, it's not working for the general public. My advice will be to seriously look at the emails and think long and hard about adding actual, usable information that your players can use to get better and not make the same mistake again. If people understand what they did wrong or incorrectly, they can change their behaviors. If not, they're going to continue to take to Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days, pitchforks in hand and running frothy mouth for your doors. Number three, Niantic, share more information with your players base. The player base is doing the Lord's work. I'd say 95% of your player base is doing the right thing. 97. Outside of the random AMAs, we don't know what your priorities are. We need to know everything. We don't need to know everything. We'd like to know everything, but we need to have a good idea of who, what, where, when, and how. That would be really nice. It would also help your communication. I, Jamal Harvey, speaking for myself, I don't believe you trust most of your player base. I really don't. Because if you did, you would feel more comfortable sharing information with your player base in the emails. Instead, it feels like they need to guess what you're trying to tell them. Like last week, I said it's like going to court and having the judge give you a fine, but not telling you what you did. Just pay the fine. Move on. Don't do it again. Wait, what? What shouldn't I do again? You know what you did. Don't do it again and go pay the fine. Again, Niantic, you didn't ask me for any of this. I'm a supporter of yours. I believe in you. And I think you're doing the right thing for the most part. I've defended you. Chris has defended you. And we will continue to do so because we believe you are on the right track. But please, help us help you. Okay, Niantic, thank you for listening. You can go back to your day. Chris, do you have any unsolicited advice you'd like to offer Niantic?
First, I completely agree with you. 100%. It's frustrating having to go on social media and kind of go to bat, knowing in the back of my mind that they're not sharing the information with these people that they need to share, right? Like it shouldn't be on us to go through someone's nomination history and be like, I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure that open well in a field with a broken pallet on top of it that you submitted twice is probably part of the reason that you got a suspension, or that architecture that you submitted seven times is part of the reason that you got your suspension or your warning, right? Like to me, and this, I thought about this the other day when we were talking about this, I think Niantic should A, give more information in the email, but you have a list of nominations on their website, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they've identified something that is abusive, that they have flagged that you are getting the email for, why can't they change the rejection reason to abuse? Abuse is a rejection reason, because I had one of my things rejected once for abuse and I appealed it and I won. So right. It is a thing, right? So they could go, oh, here's your account back. Take a look at your nominations. And they can scroll through and it would be, boom, abuse. And they can put a note in there, because if you have an appeal and they reject your appeal, they write you a whole last paragraph sometimes,
yeah,
about why they rejected your appeal. Right? And be like, hey, this is too generic, or blah, blah, blah. They put in that little box. This is fake. We know it's fake.
Right.
Stop it.
Yes. Right?
Or this is what we marked as abuse, because it was, you submitted it here. It's not there. We know that you moved it there later, but that's your initial nomination, 6 kilometers away from where it actually is. That's abuse.
Right. 100% right? That's abuse. So, I think Niantic needs to be more trusting. So, Chris, you have little ones like mine. My littlest one is 10. She's almost 11. And I think your youngest ones are 9, right?
9, yes.
Nine. So, if your youngest ones wanted to light a candle, you probably wouldn't just hand them a lighter or a match. You'd go over and light the candle for them, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like Niantic is treating us like the 9 and 10-year-old. They're not going to hand us the lighter. They're going to light it for us, right? But I think we're more like your older kids or my older kids. Here's the lighter. Go light the candle. Don't burn the damn house down, right? I think Niantic can trust, like I said, 97% of the player base. Mm-hmm. And I think they send the emails out because they don't want people to know what their anti-cheat procedures are. Because if they say, you submitted this on a certain day and you did this, people are going to go, aha, I know how they found it. And then they're going to find a new way to cheat. Okay, Niantic's got a really good idea who the big cheaters are. Hell, I know 3 names of the big cheaters, so I know Niantic knows who they are, right? I'm not going to say it here, but we know who they are. Most of the people are not in a big ring, like the big ring that's going around. And a lot of people got caught up because they were kind of adjacent to the ring. They were saying, hey, I see this kind of thing is going through. There's one of these in front of my house. I'm going to go and nominate this light pole. And so now they're getting grouped into that. But if Niantic will say, hey, you submitted a light pole in the Netherlands on March 23rd, 2023, that was fake, or that was this or that, then it's kind of like, oh, I know what I did. Again, I go back to that analogy. I go to court and the judge says, pay your $100 fine, Mr. Harvey. What did I do? Don't worry about what you did. Just pay the fine. Wait 30 days and don't do it again. But if I don't know what I did, how do I know not to do it again?
Exactly.
So that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm not going to bang on Niantic for the latter. I think the latter is necessary. But what I am going to bang on Niantic, and what I do want to hold them accountable to, is communicate with your dang player base. Let people know exactly what they are doing that is breaking the law. Be open and honest with the communication. And stop hiding behind these corporate written emails. It's not helpful. It's counterproductive. And what you are doing is you are giving yourself a self-inflicted wound that you don't need to have.
Yeah.
Twitter X is not everything, but there is a very vocal minority out there on Twitter that is just roasting Niantic at every possible opportunity. And it's not one. And Niantic could stop it. Like, when Aaron came out on the forums and said, hey, like I'm not going to out you, but you were cheating and it's Pokemon and blah, blah, blah. Like, that shut that whole thing down. And when Andis came out and said it, it shut it down. If Niantic would be a little more proactive and say, here's some evidence, maybe not everything, but it would shut it down. But when you don't say something, then the mob takes over and the mob becomes louder than the truth.
Yep. 100%.
So I think at some point we're finally going to be done talking about this. I thought it was 2 weeks ago. I thought it was last week. I think it's now. We'll see. If it's still a story next week, we'll talk about it next week. But Chris, I just really wanted to take that whole part of topic number two just to give Niantic my advice, and hopefully they listen to it, because I think that's what they need to do. Because at the end of the day, I love Wayfarer. I probably love Wayfarer more than Ingress and Pokemon Go. Like, it's the meta game for me. And it really hurts me to, like, log on to Twitter and log on to different Discord servers that I'm in, and everybody is bashing Niantic when we know, and we can't talk about it, that they're working on some really cool stuff that everyone is going to love.
Yeah.
They're taking their sweet damn time about it. But once it hits, it's going to be like, wow, this is really cool. So I don't know. That's where I'm at. I'm going to stop talking now. Your turn.
So speaking of taking their sweet time about this, we got a little pingy ping in the Discord. So I'm gonna break in here and share a little bit of news.
Oh, we have news?
Maybe we'll cut this back into the news section.
Okay.
Little Birdie mentioned this to me. They made a post, so about 25 minutes after we started recording, because of course, Monday, October 30th, there will be a maintenance window of 6 hours from 7 a.m. PDT to 1 p.m. PDT. So 7 a.m. is 10 a.m. Eastern. During this time, there won't be any access to the Wayfarer website. You won't be able to access the Wayfarer website. All other actions such as nominations, edits, reporting, etc. will still be available. We will be sure to update you once the maintenance has been completed, and once again, you'll be able to access the Wayfarer website. Thank you for your understanding. 6 hours it's going to be down. Now, the last time that it went down for 6 hours, we got super excited and made plans to do an emergency broadcast, and then nothing happened. So this may be nothing. It may be something. If you see us drop an episode
in the middle of the night,
in the middle of the night on the 30th, then you'll know it was something.
Yeah. Hey, so we're not afraid to do things in the middle of the night. So
nope,
not at all.
So.
Well, that is really good breaking news. And it's a good thing we didn't record this morning, or we would have been like kicking ourselves that we didn't know what we know. So
exactly.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. God, we've talked that to death, but I really liked it. Do you want to hear something funny?
Yes.
You want a funny news story? Do you want to bring up that picture while I read the news story? You guys will really love this. So, all right. we are going to talk about our funny news story of the week, and it comes to us this week from, hold on one second. It comes to us this week from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, home of the Safari Zone 2021, and I was there. That's where the squirrel got his head cut off, but that's another story for another day. All right, so I'm going to read this story to you guys. This is great. So the Philadelphia Phillies denied an emotional support alligator from entering the ballpark. Yes, you heard that correct. Somebody brought an alligator to the ballpark as their emotional support animal. So this is from the AP, and the writer is not named, or else I'd give them credit. A Phillies fan and his emotional support animal, an alligator named Wally Gator, were denied entrance to watch Philadelphia host Pittsburgh. Social media posts, which you're seeing on the screen right now, so go watch the YouTube, showed an alligator on a leash with a harness with his name on the outside of the stadium Wednesday. Wally Gator is a working emotional support alligator owned by Joey Henney of Jonestown, Pennsylvania. The reptile has a big presence on Instagram and TikTok, just like the Wastewaters podcast. Citizens Bank Park policy on support animals is posted on the Phillies official website, and it states, guide dogs, service animals, or service animals in training are welcome. All other animals are prohibited. Henney spoke to the Philadelphia Inquirer last year and said, Wally Gator helps him battle depression, and he likes to give everyone hugs, Henney said, then that the gator has never bitten anyone.
The look on your... he got teeth, don't he?
The look on your face, Chris. Look at that gator, man. That's a big, long gator. Would you get a hug from that gator?
I probably would. I will say this. having a pet alligator would probably cure my depression sometimes. So I don't doubt that this is 100%.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Oh man, an emotional support gator. Can any animal be an emotional support animal these days? I would have never thought that a gator would qualify as emotional support, but here we are. All right, so if you guys are in Philadelphia and you happen to go to a sporting event, look for Wally Gator hanging outside the stadium. And yeah, that's our funny news story of the week. They seem to have all had kind of an animal theme, if you've noticed, right? We had the bull that got lost in Charlotte, and then we had the one in Iowa that was riding in the car, and there was another animal one. And then there was a snake. Remember the snake from Arizona that came out of the toilet? So that's kind of a little palate cleansing story there after we had our little heavy time. So let's go ahead and roll the music. Let's cue up the dad jokes. And the dad jokes this week are spooky themed. I really leaned into that one. So we'll see you guys on the other side. Enjoy the dad jokes, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Grinding Meowth, and you're listening to the Wastewaters Podcast.
Hi there, I'm Mark, Masterful27 from the Incense Pokemon Go podcast. Yeah, that is what it's called. And I'm listening to the Wastewaters Podcast, and I suggest you all do the same.
Hi, this is Anthony, the CEO of Foundry 6, and you're listening to the Wastewaters Podcast.
This week's dad jokes are brought to us by the good people at Manscaped.
Ugh, get some better jokes already. It's season 2.
Why do ghosts go on diets? So they can keep their ghoulish figures. What's a skeleton's favorite instrument? The trombone. What did Dracula say when the witch and the warlock started kissing? Get a broom. How do you mend a jack-o'-lantern? Of course, with a pumpkin patch. What do witches get when their shoes are too tight? Candy corns. What's a zombie's favorite treat? Well, you're guessing it's going to be brain food, but it's actually eye candy. Why are graveyards so darn noisy? Because of all of the coffin. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the spooky dad jokes. Welcome back to the Wastewaters Podcast with your hosts, Jamal and Chris. We are here to entertain, educate, and excite everybody about going out and doing Niantic Wayfair, and we hope that you are in that mindset now. So we are going to talk to you guys about Wastespot of the Week. Here we go.
Let's take a look at a beautiful example of what the Wastespotters Podcast thinks you should be nominating. We proudly present the Wastespot of the Week.
All right, again, our very, very expensive voice actors that we hired. So for Wastespot of the Week this week, Chris, we're going to do something a little bit different. So we received an email from Malicious Jane. And again, Malicious Jane, thank you so much for hanging with us. You sent this email a while back. It reads, "Hi, Jamal. Attached is my nomination for Wastespot of the Week. I think some would be hesitant to approve of gravestone, but this falls into an exception for historical figures, and the next of kin obviously wanted the story to be known, so having it as a wastebot serves that purpose, and ultimately, I just love the title. Thanks for all you do. I love the show. Malicious Jane." So let's pull this up on the screen right here, and let's talk about this. So this is one that I think is going to be, I don't want to say controversial, but I don't think this is going to be a slam dunk for everybody, because some people are really dead set against gravesites and anything in a graveyard. But Malicious Jane makes a pretty good case for this. So Chris, I want to talk about this a little bit, and I want you to tell me, do you think this is Wastespot of the Week or not?
I like it.
You like it?
I do. Okay. I like it.
So for everybody who's listening right now, I am going to do my best here to explain to you exactly what you're seeing. So the title and description are Monkey Man's Son Marries Hog Father's Daughter. And hold on 1 second. I need to make this bigger so I can read it. So, Chris, do you want to explain to them what the picture is here?
The picture is, the picture is, it looks like it is a plaque on a gravestone, like a headstone.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really see it, but it looks like the top of it is, it's like a, it almost looks like a carnival poster.
Yeah, it's like a circus poster where it has like a long story that kind of talks about it. And it goes into the monkey man's son marrying the farmer's daughter, a special and unique memorial on the back of the headstone. So it's not the front of the headstone, it's the back of the headstone. And the supporting information in all caps says this is not seasonal or temporary, it's permanent. So it's not like a piece of paper on the back of the headstone, it's actually a lacquered over, so you can't take it off. Ample space for pedestrians and a wonderful memorial on a headstone. Now, in Charlotte, where I live and where I play, there's a humongous graveyard where there's like 54 Pokestops and five gyms, and everybody's very respectful of graveyard. And I've learned a lot about the history of Charlotte by playing there. Because it's like the 1700s and the 1800s. And when you go in there, you see like street names. Like, oh, Stonewall. Oh, and there's like a whole Stonewall family in here. And you're like, you look at the history, they're one of the founding families of Charlotte. There's like a whole Stonewall Street and there's a Smith Street. And, you know, like the first 15 mayors of Charlotte are buried in this graveyard. And I would have never known that had I not been playing Niantic games. So... Mm-hmm. On the surface, I like this, right? It's educational. Some people are dead set against something being in a graveyard, being approved now. It's like, oh, that's a seed portal from Ingress, or that got approved back in 2018, but we'd never do it now. This is one that Malicious Jane came across. Again, like you, I like it. I just wonder, I'm going to have to follow back up with them to see if this actually went through, because I think this might be kind of an uphill battle.
Yeah, yeah. Getting things approved in a cemetery is very hit and miss. I when I was in Midland, I did a couple in their giant graveyard. Like, it was huge. There was like a whole section that got dedicated to war vets. So I did like the entrance to that section and a couple of very, very specific that were, they weren't necessarily grave sites. They were kind of memorials that were along the path. I think one got approved, two got rejected. So
right,
it's definitely an uphill battle getting stuff like that through.
And if you read the criteria, it's not carte blanche that things in cemeteries are not allowed. I think it even says specifically in there, if it's a notable person or a historical figure, it's absolutely eligible.
It says, so I was looking it up while you're talking. Rejection criteria says sensitive locations like gravestones not associated with a significant historical figure.
Right.
So,
and while
a little bit of wiggle room there.
Yeah, while this might not be a historical figure for this part of the country, it seems like it's a pretty good story that a lot of people either should know about or may know about. And I think to me that's kind of historical because there's graves. I think I've even sent you the gift that there's a elephant on a headstone, and the person who is in the grave, no one knows except for the fact that he had a pet elephant and then the pet elephant killed him. So when they buried him, they put an elephant on top of his grave. And I think that's notable. I think that's something that should be in the game, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like nobody knows his name, but oh, the guy that got killed by the elephant. If you play Pokemon or Ingress in Charlotte, and you've been to the graveyard, you know about the Elephant Trainer Memorial. Like, it's just one of those things, and I've taken my kids there, and they've got out and gone to the back of the memorial and read the story, and they're like, oh my God, he had a pet elephant, and it stepped on him. And, you know, it's kind of macabre, but it is what it is. So I think there will be some people, Malicious Jane, that would push back and say, this is not Waste Spot of the Week. Chris and I agree, so we wanted to highlight this. Thank you for sending it in, and good job.
Yeah, and this is a very good example of the nuance that's involved in Wayfair.
Yep. Now, speaking of the nuance that's involved in Wayfair, we should probably talk about the opposite of the nuance that's involved in Wayfair.
Ah, I've been working on the Wayfair all the livelong day. I've been working on the Wayfair just to pass the... Uh-oh. Oh, no. Hey, Jamal, I found some coal.
All right. So this coal comes to us from friend of the show, Bozo Dad, via email at wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. And I think I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Bozo Dad has sent us a ton of coal of the week, and this is our catch-up week. So if you guys have noticed, just about everything we're talking about on the show today has been listener or viewer sent in, because we appreciate you guys. We wanted to get to you. This one is just hilarious. Like, this is so for our audio listeners, what you're looking at, I'll read you the title and description, and I won't say anything else about the picture. So the title is Ridgeview High School, and the description is a place for kids to gather and play basketball. A place on campus where students come together. So the main picture is the gymnasium of the high school. And we've included the entire picture. Bozo Dad's included the map, and it clearly has the tag that says Ridgeview High School. This is either someone who's like trolling and trying to sneak something through, or someone who genuinely does not know that K through 12 is something that you shouldn't submit. This is like, there's no redeeming qualities to this, Chris. It's just coal.
Yeah. It's not even like something on a high school grounds that you could maybe, oh, I didn't know. Right. This is straight up a high school.
Right. It's not like there's a mural on the side of the right. building. I mean, the title is Ridgeview High School. Like, you don't have to do Wayfair longer than 10 minutes to know that K through 12 is not eligible. So I don't know. I got a kick out of that one. And Bozo Dad put a bunch of question marks in there. And I'm like, you don't need to say anything else. This is clearly coal of the week. So, yeah. All right. Let's go to coal number two. Chris, you take this one.
Coal of the week number two comes to us from friend of the show, Bozo Dad, again. So this is sent us this in the through the email, and this is it looks like a light post or a power pole with like a weird face on it. Like, it's not even like an artistic face. It's just like someone spent 2 minutes screwed a couple of coffee cups and some twigs to a pole. And was like, yep, artistic face. I mean, I'll give them points for the title, facing the journey / face overlooking the road. I think facing the journey might have been better.
Yeah.
With the / face overlooking the road was kind of weird.
That's kind of overkill. That's kind of like you're selling too much.
Yeah. I love it when people put this in their description too. It says this face sign has been here forever and put up by God knows who. Like,
okay.
The supporting picture is basically the same picture, and it's this rural area that needs more stops. Like, I'm pretty sure that this is in front of someone's house.
Yeah, oh, I'm pretty sure
they've included the map on this one too, and it's it looks like it's the front of someone's house.
Yeah, for sure. Just because something is old doesn't make it eligible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is clearly someone's attempt to get a house stop.
Yeah. Man, we're coming up with a lot of things that should be on t-shirts. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's eligible.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. 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 We gotta get some new merch out there. I think we gotta get your design on a t-shirt where you're in the thumbnail car.
Yeah.
It's not that far. Get out of your car.
Yeah.
And we gotta get the live animal on a t-shirt. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So Bozo Dad, awesome. Thank you so much for sending that in. And we've got half dozen more that we need to get in from people who've sent us emails, and my God, you guys have been absolutely murdering Chris with the DMs on X or Twitter, and Chris has been like at all hours of the day and night responding to people, and I feel so bad because I'm like, I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say. And then I look and Chris has already responded. And I'm like, you worded that so well. That's right. You're a writer. I keep forgetting you do this for a living. So continue to hit us up. Yeah. Well, one of us will respond to you, but we appreciate it. And Chris, you got anything else?
I'm good, man. I'm excited for what is going to happen on the 30th. I don't know what's going to happen, but my gut tells me it's something good.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And we may be, you guys may wake up on Halloween morning with something in your feed, potentially. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. If you have something in your feed from us on Halloween morning, that means that we were burning the midnight oil and something happened. And there you go. You'll know about it. All right. So if nothing else, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that we cannot have an episode of Wastepotters without shouting out our executive producer, Kate the Cons. You rock, as well as all of our other Patreons. We love you. Continue to send us messages. Hey, continue to call us out and hold us accountable. You know who I'm talking about, who's making sure that I'm doing 100 reviews a day. Keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for listening to this episode of Wastepotters. And if you like what you hear, there's just a couple of ways that you can interact and tell us. So the first one would be follow us on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, at Wastepotters. So we're on Twitter, and we will always answer your messages. Please send us a DM. It'll probably be Chris, and he's got the right answer. We're also on Instagram, at Wastepotters Podcast. On Instagram, you will be able to find all of the shorts, all of the dad jokes, all of the Cole of the Week, all the Wastepot of the Week. All that will be on Instagram. You can also find us on TikTok. Wait, that's not TikTok. That's TikTok. At I Make Wastepots. You can also find the shorts on TikTok. So the dad jokes, the Cole of the Week, all of that. You can pick your poison if you want to watch it on Instagram or if you want to watch it on TikTok. We try to be incredibly responsive, and we love interacting with the viewers and the listeners. So we really do appreciate you guys doing that. So another way to get in touch with us is to go to our website, www.wastepotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website. Or you can send us an email like the good people did that were featured on the show today, wastepotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Now, some of you may be watching this on YouTube, and if you're listening to this on audio, go over and watch the YouTube. Let me tell you how to get there. youtube.com/@wastepotterspodcast. If you were watching this on YouTube, do me a favor and type either hi Chris or hi Jamal, just so we know what your name is. One of us, probably Chris, will respond to you. We want to interact with you. And if you have an idea for the show, we will talk about it. Perfect example is AstroBlast64 sent us his well thought out idea, and we made it topic number one. We will talk about your topic. So if you're watching us on YouTube, youtube.com/@wastepotterspodcast. Type us a little message. Send us an idea. We'd love to interact with you guys. So for our American listeners or anyone who wants to dial a U.S. phone number, 704-426-3710. What's that, Jamal, you ask? That's our hotline. Leave us a voicemail. You never know. Your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show, or you can tweet us a voicemail directly from Twitter. So if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network, if you're not a Patreon, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 US a month. Now, that's $1.36 Canadian. It's $7.84 in Hong Kong. It's one Australian dollar and 56 cents. It's 79 pence in the UK, 1676 pesos in Mexico, and 1068 in Norway, and I cannot remember what their currency is called. Now, by the time this airs, you know those numbers fluctuate. So give me a penny or two here or there on either side. But the moral of the story is for $1 US a month or in your currency, you can go to www.patreon.com/Pokemon Professor and you can join the Patreon and be one of our beloved members. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wastepotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcasts, and Lured Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. Last thing, I promise, and then I'll get you back out to your Sunday. Can you all do me a favor? For those of you who are listening on audio, on the podcatcher you're listening to right now, can you give us a rating? 5 stars to me are always the best stars, and I know Chris loves 5 stars. And if you want to be a superstar, write us a review on the podcatcher that allows you to do it. Now, not all of them allow you to leave a comment, but we would appreciate you do. And I promise one of us will read it on an upcoming show, good or bad. And with that, we appreciate you guys so much listening to the Wastepotters podcast. And remember, what's a... We'll be right back.